When I get up here, I'm either going to teach what I think I know, and I'm going to try to convince you that I'm right, or I'm going to get up here, and the Holy Spirit's going to teach you about the one that made you.
Amen.
One of those two things is going to happen. I mean, not likely I'm going to get up here and try to mislead you intentionally, although that's going to be done in many churches this morning. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is start looking at the doctrines that these churches teach and look at the Word of God, and you'll know without any hesitation that somebody's messed up. They're looking in the wrong book and they're listening to the wrong kind of spirit. In the last days, men shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what that tells me? Those seducing spirits will say, go vote for him. You know what that guy said one time during his campaign? He said, all of a sudden, some kind of a thing is going to come over you and you're going to get in that booth and you're going to say, I got to vote for him. That character actually said that. And then criticized so much for it, he quit saying it. Do I think he's the predecessor of the Antichrist? To be honest with you, I don't have any idea. I'm just showing you the stuff that's there. I'm showing you the evidence that's there. You know what John the Baptist did when he came on the scene? He just started telling the stuff that was already there. He started telling the people what he was told to say. And he started getting criticized immediately for it. The problem with people nowadays is they want the attention drawn to themselves. So they'll start telling you a bunch of stuff to impress you and kind of scare you and say, oh man, you ought to hear what our preacher said about, boy, he has studied this thing. Oh, there's so many things about this. You just need to come here. No, you don't. You need to go find out about the one that made you. You want to find out how to accomplish the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And even if you got one of those, you missed three others. Anyway, let's move along here. We got a song in a songbook there, that blue one on page 27. You don't have to look it up, but it says, there's not a plant nor flower below, but makes thy glories known. The stuff God created, he created specifically to draw attention to himself. You know that? I mean, that's a pretty peculiar thing. God says, I have made all of these things for my glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. How come? He's trying to tell us something. Do you realize that every critter on this earth except us knows who made them? They're aware of their creator. If we get into all of this stuff I got planned here this morning, you'll see it. But anyway, over there in Psalms 145, it says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. You been doing that? Or you'd mind just been on yourself, your problems, and what you want from him, and if he doesn't give you what you want, you get a bad attitude toward God. When your attitude toward God is based on how he treats you instead of how you treat him, you are messed up. I'll tell you what, God ought to start treating us like we treat him. Hey, God, I need some help. I ain't heard from you for 3 years. I'll wait about 3 years. I'll die before that happens. Tough luck, buddy. Man, I need some money, God. Last time I saw you, you put a buck in. Oh, here's a dollar back. How's that? Oh, man. You start treating God like he treated you. I'm telling you what, when he says he's long-suffering, he's not kidding. He has to put up with some stuff. Man, in his best state is altogether vanity. Anyway, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glory and honors and majesty of thy wondrous works. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? You know what's happened, what's gone wrong in this last days, don't you? They're not talking about God anymore. They're talking about Mother Nature. There's not a plant nor flower below but makes thy glories known. Oh, stuff all evolved. I was listening to one guy who's a PhD and been teaching evolution. He started out with Zen Buddhism, worked his way up, got saved, got a PhD, started teaching evolution like he'd been taught it. Some of his students came up and said, have you ever studied any of those things that are assumptions that they make? Well, they're not assumptions. Those are all facts. I said, oh, really? You better start looking at some of these things that they taught you as fact. They just assumed it. The minute they did that, the whole thing messed up. Anyway, Genesis chapter 1 says over in 1:20 and 21, it says, And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl that fly above the earth upon the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. You ever make anything? You ever cook anything? I mean, you like cooking? I like eating. You like making stuff when it comes out good? Brother Seldon sent me some pictures of that Model A and where these guys have been working on that Model A Roadster of his. He sent me those pictures in email. Those four fenders have never looked better. The day they were made, they didn't look this good. Guy does that kind of stuff and stands back and he says, man, I like that. I've done that. Where do you get those feelings from? There's no new thing under the sun. You're created in God's image. You know what the problem is, don't you? We're so much like God, we think we're important. Oh, man, you think I'm kidding you? That's the fight they had. Eve says, I saw the fruit and desire to make one wise. I want to be like the Most High. It's what Satan's problem was. Remember that? She says, I want to know more. I want to get more like him. Thou shalt not surely die. Yeah, right. Anyway, moving along here. So he creates these great whales. And what are we talking about by great whales? The problem is, like I said here a second ago, is they have taught evolution instead of design. You know what it's like? It's like you coming along and finding a ballpoint pen. Never seen one before in your life. You find this ballpoint pen, you say, wow, look at this thing. Where'd that come from? Well, that must some plant must have grown that. Look at how this thing evolved. Boy, put the ink in the right place, the little ball on the tip, all made out of metal. Look at that spring in there. Man, that thing goes up. Wow, even got threads. You can take this thing. Boy, that's fascinating how this thing evolved all of those parts to make this thing. You think I'm kidding you? That's exactly what they're teaching. But that thing sounds dumb about the pen, the ballpoint pen. If you understood what they were actually teaching some of your kids in school and what's been going on in those institutions of higher learning, turn their heart away from God. That's what the whole thing's about. That stuff didn't evolve. It was designed. Do you think your blood vessels open up by a matter of accident when you start running? Oh, no, that evolved. Yeah, just like that little round ball on the tip of that ballpoint pen did. If you don't have everything it takes to make one of those lights work at the same time, you don't get light. You got to have the ballast. You got to have the bulbs. You got to have a tiny little drop of mercury in there. You got to have all that stuff on the inside of that tube. You got to have the electrical wiring running all the way back to that power plant. You got to have that coal. You got to have the insulation on the wires. You got to have the transformers out there. That stuff's designed. You know what happens if you don't have it all? It don't work. I mean, you can leave out one little screw on those things and they quit working. You are more complex than anything man has ever made. He doesn't even understand how you are built. God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, thou knowest not how the bones grow in the womb. You notice they're not attacking that one. Oh, we figured all this stuff out. You haven't figured it out. Even if you thought you figured it out, you'd be wrong. I figured it all out. The earth is flat. Over in the Louvre in Paris, there's about a mile and a half of books sitting side by side like that that are obsolete scientific information about all the things that men thought they knew and every one of them wrong. They just keep on going. Why? Because nobody talks about his mighty works from one generation to the next. Why is that? Get your mind on yourself. Well, you see that fruit? Don't you want to have some of that? You'll become like gods. That don't sound too bad. You know how high we regard our opinion? We regard it above our own health. You say, are you kidding? You ever been in a fight because you thought you were right and they were wrong? I'll bet you some of these guys in here have been punched out. For those very things. That's how high you regard your opinion. Why is that? Because we think we're more important than anything else on this planet or anybody else. God says there's a different way you're supposed to look at this stuff. And unless you really realize who I am and what I've done, you can't actually appreciate me. Anyway, back into this thing. I got some tomatoes outside. I've been working on growing winter tomatoes now for several years. I had one good crop, and ever since then, that soil got polluted with those nematodes, and I can't get anything up out of there. But in the meantime, I've learned all kinds of things. And if somebody came along and found those tomatoes out there growing in January, They'd find this old system with a tent over in a greenhouse, and they'd find a thermostat in there with light bulbs that automatically go off and on, you know, in the middle of the night to keep that thing from freezing. They'd find a netting over there to keep the birds from eating it up when I uncovered it. They'd find these plastic things over there to keep it warm and an insulation thing over that, you know, and the whole thing working. He said, man, look at these tomatoes. Boy, look what they did. You think they did? You know better. Why? Because it's so blatant. The problem is we like to think we're the best thing on this planet. So when somebody comes along and takes God out of the equation, it allows you to continue to feel highly of yourself. And the Bible says man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What's that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is none that doeth good. That's us. Okay, great whales. How great? Well, a blue whale is about 100 foot long, weigh about 300,000 pounds. I mean, if you don't think these things are big, you know, you say, well, they're bigger than an elephant. You got no idea. They got 22 tons of blubber. Elephant don't even weigh close to that. That's as much as 250 average people. You think you're fat? What's that blubber for? It's to keep him warm. His tongue weighs as much as an elephant. He produces as much horsepower as 3 muscle cars. That's about 1,000 plus horsepower for diving and moving around. You realize it takes a certain number of BTUs to make your car run? You know how that works? It takes a certain number of calories to make you run. You realize you couldn't even move a whale more than about a foot with all your calories? He got some power. That sperm whale, he eats giant squid up to 40 feet long. That thing will dive at 550 feet per minute. That's 44 atmospheres in a minute. That thing go from the surface right on down. At 14 pounds per square inch at sea level, that's over 600 pounds per square foot in a minute. Pressure change on it. So what's significant about that? Well, last night I was up in the middle of the night, pulled up one of my emails from a friend up in Georgia, Carrollton. He sent me a deal on a Titanic. Tells in detail about what happened to that Titanic. One of the places on there says all their theories have recently been blown out of the water. They're back to square one. They think it had to do with metallurgy, that the metal was all brittle, so when it hit the iceberg, it tore it unusually. And they discounted that now for some reason. But anyway, this thing's laying down there on the bottom, about 3 miles deep. You know, the nose section sunk about 2 miles, and it crashed into the bottom, you know, and it fell back over. And it's pretty much intact, except where it broke in half. Then the tail section of that thing, it's pretty much intact from where it broke, about halfway back, and the whole center of it's gone. It's just blown out and caved in, and then there's the fantail. You know what caused that? An implosion caused that. There's a section in that ship around those drive shafts was airtight chambers. And when that thing started going down, the pressure began to build up around it. You ever break a light bulb? They sound like they explode, don't they? They don't explode, they implode. There's a vacuum in there. So when you break that light bulb, it doesn't sound like it sounds like boom. It's a different sound entirely. What happened to that ship was exactly that. The pressure began to build up around that air chamber inside of there. When it got to the point that those walls could no longer hold it, they caved in, completely crushed, and then because that air is a little bit elastic in there, it immediately blew back out and just took all the metal and all the water with it. Some of the people said, we heard an explosion after the whole ship was gone out of sight for a while. And went, boom. So what are you telling me that for? How do you think that whale keeps from exploding that way? That thing's a mammal. It's breathing air. It's got lungs full of air when it goes down. 600 PSI pressure per square inch in 1 minute? What do you think's going on? Well, it evolved into that. Yeah, just like my tomatoes evolved with their own heating system. It didn't evolve. Somebody designed the stuff, and they designed every specific part with a purpose in mind. And God is such an unusual being that he creates all of these things with such variety, and he doesn't use the same stuff twice. If you think that's something, I mean, go out there and start counting the stars and try to come up with a name for each one. And then remember their names. And then get them to sing back to you like he does. Then you've done something. Anyway, The humpback whale's got little old fins up near the front of him. He's got blood vessels all over those things, real close to the surface. You know what they're for? Heating and cooling. That thing goes in shallow water, goes really deep water, and it gets very cold. And so he can control those blood vessels on those fins when he gets up in the warm water, opens them up, lets the blood flow through there, collect that heat, goes down deep, turns it all off. Controls his temperature with that stuff. That was some smart whale to evolve that stuff. I could use a few fins myself once in a while. Aren't we the top of the evolutionary scale? How come I can't run 60 miles an hour? You'd think that all the slow people got caught by leopards, wouldn't you? Or by cheetahs or something and got ate up. How come I can't jump as far as a flea can proportionately?
Oh, you just evolved differently.
Man, I'm telling you what, if that stuff about evolutionistic evolution, you know, if that was true, and you got better and better and better as you went, you think we'd be worried about having people that were too fat and wearing out and dying at this age and sore here and hurting there and disease and everything else? They say, well, the rest of nature's got that kind of stuff, not the extent we've got it. And we're doing everything we can to combat it. Anyway, humpback whales feed on krill, and they use air bubbles that they blast out as they go down as like great big nets. And they'll start spinning around these huge schools of krill, and they blow these air bubbles out, and the fish get so confused, it's just like a net. They won't go outside of it. They just keep bringing that thing in and in and in and in and in like that. Then they go in there, open their mouth. 2,000 pounds in one bite. 2,000 pounds of fish in one bite, man. Who taught them how to fish? They went to whale school, did they? If you think that's something, next week we're going to talk about something. There's no possible way that critter could have learned anything. It's a bird, and it had to come through the egg, and it could not have possibly learned anything from its parents. That's really wild. I mean, at least maybe a baby whale could observe the stuff. Anyway, moving along, they got a communication system that allows them to find food. That's where our basic sonar came from. What is that? They put out a sound, and it bounces off of something and comes back. Well, I'm speaking right now. If it wasn't for the microphones, I'd be able to speak and it'd bounce off that wall and come back to me. If I had the sensors that God gave those whales, I could tell you how far that was from me without knowing, because I'd be able to time that. God gave them that. Why? Find food. How can they tell the difference between fish in the bottom? How can they tell the difference between that and a boat? How can they tell the difference between that and rocks? Submarines, for that matter, you know. How do they know? Because God gave them the intelligence they needed. Did he give you any? Whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. Those things don't have any connection between their blowhole, their lungs, and their mouth. You know what evolution tells you? It tells you that those things were land creatures and they went back into the sea. You can't get back into the sea if you got an opening between your mouth and your lungs. If you're a whale, you don't last. First one dies, second one dies, all the rest of them die. All that stuff has to be in place at one time for it to function properly. Oh, we'll just leave two of the wheels off the car on one side. Well, we don't need all those gears in the transmission. Man, look at this car. It evolved 6 gears. The stuff is designed. And if you can't see the design of your creator in the stuff that he makes, the intricacy of it, then you're just simply blinded. And you're not blinded because somebody came along and blinded you. He says, they deceive them own selves. Why is that? That has something to do with your pride and wanting to feel good about yourself. Basic sin was a desire for more knowledge. And knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Our problem is that we want to know more because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And if that knowledge leads to learning, you've wasted your time. You need to let that learning lead to action, and the action needs to be to respond to the one that made you for the purpose that he made you for. Okay, well, let's get on into some of these other things. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. Once again, that's the first few words of Psalm 45:3, and it says, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Back over in Genesis 1:20, it says, and the Lord said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly and after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Like I said before, if God says something's good, you better believe it's good. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. Your opinion, I mean, that's just a guess. That's based on emotion. That's based on how that particular subject affects you and how you feel toward it. When God says something, that's absolutely how it is. Is God a man that he should lie? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. So when he says something's good, it's good. You can take it for face value. And if you've got any kind of curiosity, you need to go beyond it. Let's talk about the Pacific golden plover for a minute. You say, what is that? Sounds like a flower. It's one of the birds. Now, these things live in a few places on the earth, very few of them over in Europe. But there's one of them that lives up in Alaska, and that rascal's really a character. Weighs about 8 ounces. Pretty small little bird. And he flies from Alaska to Hawaii. He's got a great vacation program, let me tell you. One of the few birds, you know, that understands that, man, this is great up here in the summertime in Alaska, and this is great down here in Hawaii, you know. So he makes this trip. Now, that trip takes about 88 hours nonstop. You imagine a bird flying for 88 hours. And I'm not talking about one getting up there in the thermals, you know, and just sitting there and coasting, you know, like some of these red-shouldered hawks we got around here. They just flying, 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 flying. And the problem is he burns about 1 gram of energy every hour. So what he does, he starts eating like crazy for the trip. Somehow he knows it's time to fuel up. Someplace in his body, he's got some really big storage tanks. Now, everything's a compromise in flight. I don't know if you understand that, but I had a little airplane for a while. My brother flew for years, still got airplane. And everything in flight's a compromise. You either design that thing for speed, or you design it for stability, or you design it for long flights, you know. You design it for high altitudes. And you're either fighting against the resistance by going faster and then putting more horsepower on it. Now you're putting more weight on it, which takes more power to get up. Then you go faster and the air gets more dense and all these things. So it's a big compromise. So when this bird starts to eat, if it gets too fat, pretty soon it can't even fly. It'll take so much just to fly for a while that it burns up so much it doesn't make it anyway. He starts eating, and a third to a half of his body weight will be added to him. The problem is he's burning about 1 gram per hour, and it's 88 hours, and he can only put on about 70 grams. So he don't have enough fuel to get there. So how does he get there? And he doesn't have anything left over when he gets there, believe me. He does drafting. You say, what's that? Mechanical drawing where you're drawing pictures of houses? No. He gets in behind the other birds. They fly in that V formation. You ever seen a boat going through water and you see those waves going out? You see that V formation? You see where that's disturbed out there? Well, that's what happens when that first bird goes through the air. Then it disturbs the air in front of it, and that turbulence and stuff has less resistance to fly forward than just running into stagnant air. So they start drafting. When one in front gets a little tired, he'll drop back, and then they'll work their way back up. So they rotate shifts up in front in order to get there. Now, I don't know who in the world gave this rascal the idea to go to Alaska, but I can guarantee it wasn't any scientist. And it wasn't Mother Nature. I don't know what class you took that Mother Nature taught, but I haven't ever seen one. I've heard a lot about her, but I never saw her. Anyway, so what happens? Gets down to Hawaii from Alaska. Lays some eggs, hatches them out. As soon as those birds hatch out and that parent can leave, that parent stocks up on food, takes off, leaves the babies. Now, what do they do to get there? How do they get there? I mean, to start with, first, that rascal's got to know where to go. Second, it's got to be able to know that it has to stock up enough food for an 88-hour flight back. It's got to know about drafting. But that rascal takes off, having never seen where it's going, and will fly back up to Alaska. And they say those birds make that trip, and they'll go from one place to the next, and they'll land in an area the size of this room or smaller, right to the spot. Now, you know how many people have died because of bad navigation? You got any idea how many flights have been lost because a guy got lost in navigation, ran out of fuel, and crashed in the ocean? What kind of navigation equipment does it take, having never been there, not knowing anything about the place, not knowing anything about flight engineering, to be able to do that? That's pretty interesting, don't you think? Now, here's a really good question. Why'd God make that bird to do that? You ever think about that? God, there must be a reason that you made a bird do something like that. Is it just because you liked it? Is it just because you enjoy doing those kind of things, you know? No, he made it for a real purpose. And he told us what it was. Look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, 25 to 29. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now you notice he said that's after the flesh. I mean, is there some good people called? There's none that doeth good. So which ones does he call? He calls them and he equips them. Why? Because without me you can do nothing. But when you see wise people as far as the wisdom of the world, God doesn't call very many of those. Why? They want to take the credit. Watch. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why would you do that, God? And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Why would you do that? Why not use something that's already halfway prepared? And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. How come, God? That no flesh should glory in my presence. That's why. Do you understand what he just said? Remember when I asked you, I said, why are you here? Are you here for some of those reasons that are around duty? Then you're going to take credit for what you did. You get that? You're going to take credit for it. Your deceitfully wicked heart that's desperately wicked is going to start taking credit for some of the stuff that you've done. And if it starts taking credit for it, then you get that glory in his presence. And he says, my glory will I not give to another. We can't take credit for anything. That's a fact. And the sooner we get a hold of that, the sooner we'll understand about God. Because it's not until you get down that God will start to lift you up. It is he that worketh in us, both to will and to do what? Why are you doing it, God? That's why I made everything. It's for my pleasure. Why are you working in me, God? For my pleasure. What do you get out of this when I witness for you? Well, if you're putting a scoreboard up there and you say, I won another soul, I witnessed another time, I put out 2,000 tracks, who's getting the credit? You think that pleases me? When you start to understand that stuff, you start to realize that what God has given us is an opportunity to do something for him. And he's given us the strength to do it. And if we're doing the right things, and if we're praying the right way in his will for his purpose, then he gives us all of those things. God made us another day today, didn't he? Mercy's new every morning. Okay. You know what he made us this day for? To get through it? No, he gave it to you to enjoy. Like I was talking to Sister Jane this morning. If we don't enjoy it, whose fault is it? Be careful for nothing. Take no thought of the morrow. You know, I mean, this thing comes down to trusting and faith and all those things. But you can't develop faith. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, yeah, how's he going to help your unbelief? Well, you got to get your mind off of yourself and get them on him. I mean, you see when Peter's walking on the water, where's his attention? On the Lord. When did he start sinking? When it came back on him. You get your attention on him. If he keeps it there, then everything works. To get it back on yourself, that's when you start having miserable days, man. How's it going today? You don't want to know. Anyway, so if you're having a bad day, whose fault is it? Let's close in prayer.